We're pleased to see this many out this evening to study God's Word. We ask those who are visiting with us to please open up your Bible, study right along with us, and see if we're doing things in accordance to God's Word. If we're not doing the things that God has commanded, please bring it to our attention, because we need to correct ourselves. We are trying to strive to do what God wants us to do. Like Brother Harold, I hate to be up here this evening, for the reason I'm up here is because Tim's brother lost his daughter, and try to keep them within their prayers, because it's got to be awful difficult upon the family to lose a young one like they did. And it affects everybody to some degree. Well, I'll talk about a song this evening. It's 302. And if you open up your song books, it's Blessed Be the Tide. Every once in a while, I like to take a song and base a sermon outline upon it. And that's what we'll do this evening. And if you bear with me and turn to the Scriptures and see what the words mean or should mean to us as Christians. There's no more wonderful blessing than what we enjoy as Christians and having fellowship with one another. According to Romans, the 12th chapter and verse 5, where it says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, every one members one of another." So we are members of one of another. There should be a special bond that ties us together as individuals, because we're trying to get to the same place. That is heaven. Always loved this song. It's growing up. I thought it was one of the most beautiful songs to be led and to sing. And it always had a special meaning to me. And always thought about the words and how it affects us, or should affect us as Christians. And this is what we want to talk about this evening. In the first verse, it says, "Blessed be the tie that binds our heart in Christian love." And consider first what the tie that binds is not. It's not an earthly tie, such as a friendship, a marriage, or a family, all which can be either social or a physical tie. It's not one that is broken like an earthly tie, such as through separation, being incompatible with one another, or through death. But if you turn with me to Colossians, the 3rd chapter, it talks about a love that we all should be involved in. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, I can't get my fingers worked tonight. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 14, "Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness," or perfectness. Charity means love. "And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness." We can't be perfect unless we involve ourselves in the type of love that God has portrayed into us. If you turn over to 1 John, the 4th chapter, and beginning with verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love. In this is manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we may live through Him. Wherein is love? Not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be a preparation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Think about the love that God had for all mankind. To send His only Son, come down here to live with one of us. to watch His Son be humiliated upon the cross as He was. To be hung there and to take His life. That we can be saved for our sins. Would you give up your only child to save somebody else on purpose? How many of us would give our own life to save somebody else? You know what? The Scriptures teach us that we need to be able to do such. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, we have all known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. We got to be able to have the same type of love that God had for us. We got to be able to portray it and should be able to portray it as Christians one to another. The appreciation that we have for Brother Tim and his family was shown by the offering that we took up Wednesday evening to help them out. When we all got together as members of the body here, because we cared for them and loved them, even though we don't know his other part of the family that well. We do care about him and his family well enough that a lot of us donated as much as we could to help them out. We were there for them. And that's the type of love we ought to have for one another. This is something that is taught throughout the Scriptures. And if we don't have that love for one another, if we can't get along, then we have a problem. And we shouldn't be able to sing the song that we sing. Blessed be the tie that binds. We should be so bound together. Our relationship as Christians should be so much closer. And I may get in trouble for this because I have one other congregation. Our relationship should be closer than any family that we ever have on the face of this earth. We should care for one another. Our love for one another should be much more than our family relationship. And that's what God teaches. In John, the 13th chapter, and beginning with verse 34. The new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have that love one towards another. What better way can we show that we're different from the world than by the way we treat one another as Christians? Our hearts should be bound together because we have one common goal within our life. And that's to love one another and to try to get to heaven together. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. In John the 17th chapter, and beginning at verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which also shall believe on me through thy word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be united, to have one faith. We're to have one belief. We are to pray that we are common. We got a common unity within us. How many times have you seen a family relationship? They say they love one another, but they just can't get along. And they get to the point where they can't associate with one another. They can't deal with one another. They stay away to keep peace between them. But they claim to love one another. What do you think about that? What does it portray to you? Does it portray a loving relationship? Or does it portray to you a little bit of a hatred, a disgust for one another? And if you've got members of the body of Christ that are not united, or not in unity, as Jesus has prayed within these verses, that we need to be as they are, Father and Son, one, then we have a problem. Turn with me to Philippians, the second chapter, in verse 2. It talks about that we need to have a unity again. Philippians 2:2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like mine, and having the same love, being one accord of one mind. And then in the next verse, it tells you how to have that one mind, not through vainglory, that nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem others better than themselves. That's so hard. It's so difficult for us to do, is to consider somebody better than we are. We're to be united. We are to have one mind. We are to be together in this. It is condemned in 1 Corinthians 1 chapter verse 10. If we discussed on in Bible study on Wednesday evening, at the church of Corinth, they were divided. They had divisions among them. And Paul condemned them for such. And how many times have you gone to congregations that are divided? They got their own little cliques. The individual little groups. Can we truly sing this song? We need to seek the tie that emulates the unity between the Father and the Son. Can you imagine Jesus Christ being rebellious to His Father? Having a disagreement? But we just think we should just do that within our life, within our body of Christ, within the church, and think it's just fine. But we claim to be united. We claim to be one. And sometimes we're not. Second verse says, before our Father's throne, we pour out our hardened prayers. Ever talk to God on a one-to-one basis? We do. Through prayer, we talk to God. And we need to realize prayer can avail a whole lot. It's a privilege that is enjoyed through Christ, through His death. In Hebrews 4th chapter, beginning in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but that in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace in time to help in time of need. Should be a privilege for us as Christians to go to God in prayer through His Son. He was tempted just like we are. He can express to His Father the relationship, the pain, the agony we suffer within our everyday life, our temptations. He can explain that to His Father. He is a mediator for us. He can help Him to understand the things we go through in our everyday life. And we need to understand that. It should be a privilege that is great blessings. And verse 16, that we may attain mercy and find grace and to help in a time of need. We need to be able to talk to God at all times of day. Just not in time of need, but to thank God for all the blessings we have received within our everyday life. But not only does the Scriptures teach that, we are to pray for one another. James the 5th chapter, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We willing to confess our faults one to another, our weakness, ask our brother to pray for us to help us overcome our problems. We sing that song, we should mean that. Because that's what we're singing. That's what we're expressing through these words. Sometimes we just don't pray enough. For one, we just don't talk to God as we should. And the fact is that when we don't pray to God as often as we should for ourselves, we just sometimes forget about the others around about us. We don't pray for them, for their times of problems. In Acts 1st chapter, in verse 14, they all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. Acts the 2nd chapter, in verse 42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Acts the 12th chapter, and verse 12. Again, all expressing the same thought. Acts 12, 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Our prayers, it's a benefit that is from the tie that we talked about, that is bonding us together. And we can strengthen that tie, that relationship among Christians, when we pray for one another. Continue that thought in verse 2 of the song. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one. Our comforts and our cares. We all have similar concerns and desires. Some because we simply are humans within this world. We desire to be healthy. We fear sickness and dying. We're scared of it. We enjoy comfort of life, but we fear joblessness. We fear poverty. Others because we are fellow citizens of the kingdom of God. In 1 Peter, 1st chapter, in verse 3, talks about the fact that we share the hope of a resurrection and eternal life. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed is God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, talks about persecution. Verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may desire, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in the brethren that are in the world. We all have the same problems. We all face the same temptations. We may not realize it. We may not want to think about it at times, but we do. Somewhere along the line, we'll face the same temptations. We'll have the same problems in our everyday life. And we need to be there for one another. We need to pray that we can forgive one another when we do sin. And the fact that they need the help in overcoming that temptation. We have more than just a physical life in common. We are partakers of a divine nature as given to us by God. 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, verse 2 and 3. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, According as this divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him which has called us to glory and to virtue. Also in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 4, we have exceedingly and precious promises that are given to us, whereby are given to us exceedingly and great and precious promise, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Brother Harold talked about this morning in his lesson about temptations, how our desires will lead us to eternal damnation if we don't do God's will, if we don't leave Him alone. And one way we can overcome those temptations is being there for one another. Do we mean what we say when we sing that song, Blessed Be to Todd? You're teaching. You're encouraging one another according to Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19. You're teaching one another through the words of this song. Verse 3, we share our mutual woes, our mutual burden bearer. As Christians, and according to Galatians 6 chapter, verse 1 and 2, we're to be there for one another. Again, seems like I'm constantly talking about this, but it's something that we need to understand. We are to bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6, 1 and 2, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, in which you are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Are we really there for one another in our spiritual weakness? Or we just like to stand back and just condemn on a constant basis? Do we truly try to understand what maybe somebody else is going through? Or should we just throw it in their face? James 5th chapter, verse 16. We just read a little while ago. Confess your faults one towards another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. Why? Because that fervent prayer of a righteous man can help them overcome their fault, their problems. Do we truly believe it? Time of persecutions. Hebrews 13 chapter, verse 3. Says we need to remember one another. Hebrews 13:3. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and in them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. Time of physical need. James 1, verse 27. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and keep himself unspotted from the world. Are we truly there for one another? Do we truly mean by the words we sing that tie that we believe that we have in Christ, that relationship we claim to have? We should mean these things, and we should be doing them. And often for each other flows a sympathizing tear. Remember how God composed the body of Christ in accordance to 1 Corinthians 12th chapter? And beginning with verse 24. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant to that part which lacketh. But there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffered, all the members suffered with it. One member being honored, all the members rejoice with it. Do we suffer with people that are suffering? Are we happy when others are happy? We sing that song. Romans the 12th chapter, in verse 15, time's getting away from me, but read the verse. It talks about how we should weep for one another. When one weeps, we weep with them. When they are happy, we rejoice with them. But how many times have you seen members of the body of Christ at times get jealous or upset because something good happened to someone else? Finally, we'll look at verse 4 briefly. If we sing, when we have some depart, it gives us inward pain. Our relationship should be such, when we leave this building, it should be a little bit painful. Because we're separated. Husband and wife, when your children go to school, as Brother Donnie's children have been doing, going to college, and others, it's painful, isn't it? You see them leave the house, and you know you're going to be away, even though it's maybe a 2-hour trip, it hurts. You know, when I went to college down in Florida, Mom cried as they pulled away, and when she started crying, then tears come to your eyes, and because you're separated for the first time. It gets a little painful because you miss it. You've been around together for 18 years. And you're finally separated for that first time. Don't it hurt? That's the way we should be as Christians. That's the unity we ought to have. Turn with me to Acts the 20th chapter. In verse 36. Acts 20. Beginning of verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. They cried for Paul. They didn't want to see him leave. They didn't want to see him depart, because they knew there's an opportunity that they would never, ever see them again. Do we feel that? Or are we that concerned about one another? And if we don't have that type of pain, shouldn't it be about time we examine that? Our relationship, that tie that we claim to have within this song? That we shall be joined in heart and hope to meet again. We may be separated in flesh at times, but we should never be separated in spirit. Colossians 2nd chapter, in verse 5. And though I be absent from the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joy in beholding your order and the steadfast of your faith in Christ. I think about the congregations we used to work with, me and Dave Brewer, when we worked with the smaller congregations down around 100 West Virginia, Lyman Ridge and Long Drain and MacDell and some of the others. And we always wondered, I know I do, how they're doing. I pray for them every night. Hope that they continue to stand fast. They grow. I'm concerned about the congregation in Lowell, Washington at this time. Because one of the statements that one of the brethren made last week. I told them they better be careful what they're doing or about to do. I'm concerned because once this happens, I see them drifting away. We need to be there. We need to be concerned about it. We need to care. We need to pray on their behalf. that they'll continue to do what's right and who they get in. We're comforted by a wonderful hope. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and beginning at verse 13, "Well, have you not, I would not have you eager, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." We may lose a loved one, as Brother Tim and their family has, but they got one hope that people out in the world can never have. You can only have it through the blessings of Christ, being obedient to His will. And that's raising up and being with them for eternity. They died a Christian. They've done everything in accordance with God's Word. They did their best. They received heaven as their home. And what better place to meet somebody than to meet them in heaven and be with them to worship God forever? We may have known lost, loved Christians that we've lost years ago. We'll be with them if we do God's will. We may have lost our parents if they've done what God has asked them to do and we're obedient to God's will. We can be with them for eternity. Never have to see them suffer. Never have to see any more sorrow, no more pain in our everyday life, but to enjoy being with God forever. Do we truly mean what we sing when we sing this song? "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before the Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayer. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our care. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. And when we are asunder, part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart, a hope to meet again." Beautiful song. The man that wrote this back in 1782. I can imagine that maybe he lost a loved one that was a Christian and wrote this as an expression of his thoughts at that time. I don't know if that's the case. Not much about the song. It's a beautiful song to me. It means a great deal. Should mean a great deal to each of us. Now, truly, can you sing that song? If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you can't truly sing that song and mean it. You're not in the family of God. We plead with you to think about your soul and its destiny. If you're not doing the will of God as according to the Scriptures, you don't receive heaven as your home. You may live a good life. You may think you're doing things in accordance to God's will, but you open up the Bible, you find it contrary. You need to correct it. We plead with you. You must hear His word. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Be willing to change your lot. Live for God, not for ourselves. Confess by mouth confession that He confessed us before His Father.
be buried with him in a watery grave, be baptized, live a faithful life unto death. May we have done these things, but brought reproach upon the body of Christ. May we have tripped. May we have fell. We need to go to God in prayer, ask for forgiveness of your sins. Prayer of a righteous man can avail much. We need to care for one another. May you need that added strength to overcome your temptations. Nothing wrong with coming up and making it known so the brethren can pray for you, encourage you to stand up for what's right. Sometimes we say we mean it. We don't carry it out. We don't do the things we need to do. That includes me. How do you stand before God? How could you sing that song? Do you truly mean it? Or are you just making a big hypocrite out of yourself? Invitation song is 322. Bring Christ your broken heart. That's what we're asking you tonight. Be obedient to God's will. Become a Christian. And those who aren't a Christian or have become a Christian and fallen away, please do something about your soul now before it's too late. Never know. I may not get out the bottom of the hill and get killed. We don't know. Look what happened to that 20-year-old girl. Look at others. Read the paper every day. Different ages. Your soul, your destiny. You think about those things if we sing the song, Invitation.